Started last week on creation, and most of you, I feel, don't have an issue with this, but we looked at creation in chapter 1. We believe here in the Constitution, we believe in the Genesis account of creation as neither allegory or figuratively, but a literal historical account of the direct, immediate creative acts of God without any organic or thesis evolutionary process. That man was created directly in God's own image and after his own likeness and not from previously existing life forms, that all animal and vegetable life was made directly, and that God established law was that they should bring forth only after their own kind. Father, I pray for your help this evening as we continue through creation. And I thank you, Lord, that you've told us, God, and settled it for me, that you created this world. That's good enough for me. And it's not that it's just good enough, God. I just believe, Lord, that you are God and you're powerful enough, Lord. You wouldn't be God if you couldn't. And so I pray that you others, if anything, this would help solidify people in this and in your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is often a problem with some. Brother Shepherd, I don't know if it's up there or another church, was telling me recently that he had a man that has a problem with this, that believing the creation account of God, that God could just do all this in 6 days. Seven, we say, you know, a lot of times we say seventh. The seventh was the day of rest. That God created this world in six literal days. Well, here's the thing. He's God. God could create everything at one time. If he couldn't, he wouldn't be God. You understand? When we talk about the attributes of God, and I forget which one it is, it means all powerful, omnipotent, maybe. I think maybe omnipotent, but it means all powerful. He wouldn't be God. That's what I can't understand. This guy was, Brother Shepherd said, this guy struggled with it. And I think it's somebody maybe up there, but anyway, this somebody in particular had somebody at another church that he started, or that one up there, but he had a guy, he's telling me, that really struggled with this and said, how can he create all this in just 6 days? And I told Brother, I said, he could have created it all in one day. If not, he wouldn't be God. But I believe that he did it in 6 days because he was establishing a week. For us, not for him. I mean, he created the stars, and all, as powerful as they are, that they've got enough. Think about this. That's the sun is fuel. It's some kind of, I can't even think of what the fire or the gas it is. It's on fire constantly. We look at a fire and like a fireplace and wood, and in no time at all, that stuff burns up, right? It's consumed and gone. But that star, according to our calculations, our star, which is not even a big one, could last billions of years. And still not be burned up. Think about that. That to me, I don't know about that. Y'all, that does something else. Like, how is it if all that whatever's there is not just burned up quickly? Like gas, if you set gas fumes on fire, and it's gone. But yet that star is going to continue to burn. So to me, it's easy for me. I just say, hey, he's God. He wouldn't be God if he couldn't have created this world even in one day. But he did it in 6 days and rested the seventh to establish a week for us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 now. He's given us in chapter 1 the 6 days. Chapter 2 now, he goes back and goes into a little more detail with us as man. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Now, to me, that spot right there would have been a better place to stop chapter 1, because that still goes into chapter 1. Chapter 2 kind of starts a new thought, but not necessarily, because God just revisits what he's done now, and then he's going to go into about how he creates man and woman and that kind of thing. But that we see here now that God is created. He's established. God blessed the seventh day. Again, you're either going to have to believe what God says, that he made 24-hour days, seven of them, in a week, to make a week. Or you're going to believe what man says, which is it took billions or millions of years, depending on which model. Here's one of the things now between what we believe and what the evolutionists believe. Most creationists, most of them agree that the earth is 6,000 years old. There are some that still believe that God created this earth without the help of evolution, but they believe, you know, that those days mean like 1,000 years, and even those, the life of the men that live. And so there are some people that do, now I do not advocate it for it, but I'll just let you know, that do say that they believe in the earth, like God said, but they don't believe in 6 days. They believe it is thousands of years. So they believe that the earth is actually 100,000 years old. So when you take creationists and you look at what we believe the earth is either 6,000 to some that believe up to 100,000 years. That sounds like a long time frame, right? But when you look at evolutionists, some of them believe the earth is 100 million years old. Some of them believe the earth is several billion years old. So who has the larger gap in their beliefs? Creationists that believe, that most of us believe, within 94,000 years? Or evolutionists that believe in billions, there's a billions of years in between what they believe? So when you look at it that way, you realize, hey, wait a minute, you know, we're not, as creationists, we're not far off, though we don't agree with these ones that believe the earth is 100,000 years old. And we're a whole lot closer together in our belief than what evolutionists are. Evolutionists believe, given enough time, anything's possible. That's what they believe. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. One of the laws of science is that order does not come from chaos. No matter how much Brother Joe just throws everything onto the grill to cook, if there's not some order to it, it's not going to come out what he wants. He could throw to him, look at it this way. If Brother Joe was to go in there tonight, take 2 eggs, 4 cups of flour, some chocolate, some baking soda, baking powder, whatever else, whatever all the ingredients, a little bit of salt, everything there is, to bake a cake and put it on the grill, no matter how many times he swirls that together, how many times is the cake going to come out on the grill? None. Why? Why ain't he going to get a cake if he puts it on the grill and puts it all together? You got to bake a cake. So there's a process to make it come out. Same thing with us. There's a process to make, to get what God intended. Here he lays it out here now. Verse number 4. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that God, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. God knew all that stuff. For the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. So this is where we find out now that when Moses is writing this, he's referencing that you know, they know what rain is. Okay? Because Moses is the writer of these first 5 books of the Bible, we know. So Moses is, God's telling Moses that it had not caused it not to rain. Those people in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, when God tells Noah to tell them it's going to rain, those people had no idea what rain was. We look at it and we say, you know, it's kind of like somebody coming from some of the tropics here, going up to here or going on up and seeing snow for the first time. You know what I'm saying? They ain't never seen snow before. They may have seen pictures, but they've never seen it in person. So to them, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on? Kind of like, I won't say it because it's kind of wrong with the, remember what, yeah. Don't say it, don't say it, Al, I'll beat you. Anyway, so he said it caused it not to rain upon the earth. There was no man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. So to me, it sounds like Again, it's a kind of a little over interpretation. It's kind of a gray area. But it sounds to me like, in fact, with different areas, kind of like the earth had its own sprinkler system. That's what sounds like to me. That would be the way I would put it. If you need an example, come on over during summer and watch Gerald Lynn's sprinklers. You're going to send mine, Mark. I feel bad. All my neighbors are trying to keep their lawns nice and pretty and green. I'm trying to get mine to die off after May because I'm tired of mowing it, you know? But that's what I get. He says the water came up, a mist came up from the ground. So to me, it sounds like God had some kind of sprinkler system that came up through the earth and watered the earth. Okay, that'd be amazing, wouldn't it? I wouldn't have to do that myself, but you know, watered the whole face of the earth. And the Lord God formed man. Here's where we go. Man formed man of the dust of the ground. So we did not evolve from monkeys. He says that God himself formed man. This is the one thing that God took special attention to. Formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. There are three times in Scripture that God breathes. All three times have to do with man. This is number one. And I believe the Bible is what's known as the first mentioned principle. The first time it's mentioned in the Scripture, it's consistent all the way through. So when God breathes here in Genesis chapter 2, that means every other time that God breathes, there's life. This is important because when you look at the other two times, one of them, I think it's Ezekiel. I'm pretty sure it's Ezekiel. God breathes. God says, yes, it's Ezekiel because Ezekiel says, son of man. God says to Ezekiel, son of man, believest thou that these bones can live again? And Ezekiel said, I think Ezekiel says, if thou doest or something like that. And the Bible says the wind began to blow and God began to breathe and those bones stood up. And these are bones. God raised the dead in Ezekiel. Bones stood up, the Bible says, and the sinew and the muscles and the skin came back on them bones, and those bones and those bodies began to live again. And then the third time that God breathes is in the upper room. Jesus is resurrected from the grave, and he breathes on the disciples and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And I believe that, again, I believe myself, I believe that's where the life was breathed into the church. The church truly began is up there in the upper room. I'm not going to fight with nobody. I'm not going to get in an argument. Somebody that believes differently, I know some that believe it, and I love and I fellowship with that believe it's on the day of Pentecost. But I believe that because God breathes here and life is breathed into man, the second time God breathes is in Ezekiel. The third time, if we believe that Jesus is God, he breathes on it. That's extra. That didn't cost you nothing. You can believe what you want to. I'm not going to get mad at you. Not going to church you. Anything like that. It's not so. Unfortunately, we got a lot of men in our day and time that'll fight over that. It's nowhere. There's no definitive verse that says, and thus began the church. But that's what I believe. And I wanted to let you know and why I believe that with breathing. All right. So he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He did not breathe into animals. I love my animals. I had a dog that very, very dear to me, that was closer to me than any woman until my wife came home. And I told my wife, I said, just so you know, you get upset, get out of the way, you'll go before the dog goes. So, but she hung in here even after 17 years and unfortunately, the dog passed away 3 years ago, 4 years ago, so this year. So, but anyway, God did not breathe into animals the breath of life. I do not believe that animals have a soul. I'm not going to fuss with you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to church you if you want to believe that. There's people that I've had a man try to tell me that there'll be no animals in heaven. And I say, that's not what the Bible says. Bible says we're coming back when Jesus comes back at the end of the 7-year tribulation. He said, we're coming back on horses. And I said, where are you at? Where are we getting the horses from? We can't be riding no corrupt horse from earth because we're riding them down out of heaven. So there's at least horses up there. I don't know if you cats will be up there. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I just know that God breathed into man a living soul. Animals, I don't believe do, but I'm not going to fight you over and I'm going to get no. That's between you and God. You can imagine whatever you want to. We'll get to heaven. We'll find out. It's just not something to fight about. But I know people that will just get. Again, it's not a fundamental of the faith. I've told you, we're not going to agree on everything. You may believe, but God did breathe. We know specifically that God breathed into man the breath of life. He became a living soul. Here's what he says. Now, verse 8. I've got to move on. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man, whom he had formed out of the ground, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight and good for food, the tree of life. Also in the midst of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, which is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now understand that this is this changes after the flood. These are not necessarily the same rivers. And the gold of that land is good. There's, Bdellum? Did you say the B? Dellum? Bdellum? And the onyx stone. And the name of the second was Gihon, the same as it which passeth the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third is Hiddekel. That is it that goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat. Freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. So he did, here it says, out of the ground. He still did make the beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. To see what he would call them. Just God, do you see the ability and knowledge that God gave Adam right from the start? God gave Adam that ability to name all the animals, the beasts of the field. He brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made him woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and this is now flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And so we stand by that. As a church, we stand by that and agree upon that fundamental of the thing. And I'll show you why. Now let me move on quickly through these next few and get done with this. Go with me to Exodus 20 really quick. Here's why. One of the reasons that we believe that this is seven literal days. God backs it up again in Exodus 20, verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11, he says, and in 6 days the Lord God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we see it to be consistent. God said that these were seven literal days. Go on over now to John chapter 1 real quick. Get through these and then I'll be done. John chapter 1. John 1 verses 3 and 4. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we know this is one of the things, another one of the things that evolutionists cannot get over. Life
can only come from life. It cannot come from anywhere else. In order for evolution to be true, at one point, a non-living object had to become alive. It's not possible. John 1 tells us that that life in him was life. And that's where it comes from. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I want to get done here real quick and then y'all can be at liberty. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, even around us, the invisible things of the world are clearly seen." Now that we know, now we have things that we cannot see with our naked eye, but as we investigate them and microscopes and things like that, there are things that we can't see. They're seem invisible. They're invisible to us. But when you look at them on a microscopic level, like molecules, we understand that, hey, there's something more powerful here. When you look at a molecule and you realize and look at an atom, you realize that, hey, there something had to form that. Hey, you never seen your DNA, have you? You've never seen your RNA, have you? But they tell us that this, tell us about this, and they tell us how much, you know, how much information is contained in your DNA. From the moment of conception, from the moment a baby is conceived, everything is about that child is written in there. Now, there could be things that throw it off, like if a child is malnourished, they may not grow. But how tall they will grow, if they'll eat right and do right, is written into their DNA. The color of their hair, the color of their eyes, their fingerprints are all written. Everything about you from the moment of conception, when that the seed of the man and the seed of the woman come together, your DNA is written in that. You are a unique person. I can't even remember. I think somebody said it's like 144,000 characteristics. I might be wrong. That are immediately from that moment are known. But just think about that. Everything from the moment of conception about you. Not now what you chose to do, that kind of thing, is your own free will. But I'm saying your eye color, your hair color, the way that your face would look, though how tall you'll be. All those things. Now, you can do control some of it as far as if you malnourished yourself, you would not grow as tall as you would have. All those things. But that is written into your DNA from the moment of conception. God put in there for some reason that we was going to have a redhead. I don't know why, but he gave us that redheaded child. And we love her like she's our own. She's the redhead stepchild, but we love her. I'm just... Let me move on. He says there, that, those things. Go to Colossians 1 real quick. Colossians, is that Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians? Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, Colossians 1, 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The Bible tells us that this world is held together by the Word of God. The world that we're in, and we are held together by the Word of God. When you look and think about, I don't know how, you know, about a atom. Think, have you ever thought about, man, the electrons that are spinning around the nucleus of an atom. What's keeping it in check? What's the force that's keeping that electron? What's keeping that atom from just... Bible says it's held together by the Word of God. He says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, and who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And then you could, I didn't, actually, it's not in there. There's also another place. Verse 16. I could have backed that up. Oh, it was. I looked at it wrong. Verse 16. I looked at 17. Verse 16 says, "For by him were all things created," by Jesus,
that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. We were created. Hebrews chapter 11 real quick, and I'm done. I hope that you just understand this. Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. They are framed by the Word of God. And we believe that God created it. Listen, some things not going to just pop out of nothing. Some fish is not going to just turn into a bird. It's not going to grow legs and lungs. He says each animal would bring forth after its kind. If evolution is true, as other men have pointed out through the years, nothing I'm saying has not been pointed out before. If evolution is true, why did it suddenly stop? If evolution was true, why did it suddenly stop? Why are we not seeing it going on in front of us? Why are we not seeing animals right now, fish becoming birds, even to what made it suddenly to say, oh, that's it, no more evolving into other creatures? He said He created everything. Things, yes, may look different than what they were even 100 years ago. That's breeding, and I'm trying to think what the term is for pollinating. It's no different. What we've done with dogs and cats is no different than what people have done to apples and oranges and those types of things. People have, what's the term? They call it breeding, I guess, but that people have done certain characteristics to get certain kinds of fruit, certain kinds of tomatoes, certain kinds of peas. But peas still bring forth peas. They're not going to bring forth tomatoes. Tomatoes are not going to bring forth cucumbers. We may have done stuff. I mean, somebody told me a good while ago, if you saw the corn that the Indians were given to the settlers when they first got here, it probably wouldn't look like the corn that we have nowadays now they don't sell nothing but a perfect little piece of corn, You raise it at your house and it's not anything like that. That's because they've pollinated it and done certain things to get it, but it still brings forth after its kind. We believe that. The genetic thing. That's why, now a big thing is the non-MGOs, non-genetically modified. That's a big thing. That they're not trying to, get things. I didn't realize until I started looking again into trying to get a garden and what I'm looking to grow. I did not realize how much a lot of this stuff is. And it's not to say it's bad. It's just not going to bring forth. Brother Dale, I was asking him for a good corn because that corn he brought us 2 years ago was just absolutely delicious. And he didn't know what kind it was, but he told me about a kind that somebody had told him about called peaches and cream. Have y'all ever had? It's supposed to be a really sweet corn. I did buy some, but it's not a heirloom corn. So I can plant it because of the way it's been pollinated, and I'm going to get what they call peaches and cream corn. It's supposed to be really sweet corn. But if I save seed from it, I'm not going to get what I got. You understand? Same thing, some tomatoes are that way. All different kinds of things like that. Anyway, but it's still going to bring forth. It's just not going to be exactly what it was before. All right? Any questions about creation? None? All right. Father, we thank You for these, their faithfulness. I pray that You would help us as a church continue to grow. Lord, I thank You for those that have been coming on Sunday mornings. I pray, Lord, that You put it on their hearts to show up on Sunday nights and Tuesday nights, God, and give us wisdom, discernment, Lord. I'd love to see a nice fellowship hall added to this church, God, and even a place, God, to house missionaries, Lord, that we don't have to use other places. And so I just pray, God, that we would be able to raise the funds to get these things done, see this thing grow for the glory of God. Lord, just be with us and help us to do Thy will. We love You and thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.